Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
53106 is our text number that will cost you 30 cents. Just start referring back to the chat we had at the start of the programme with Robert Fisk over Donald Trump's apparent decision. Apparently, it looks like he's going to announce that they're going to move the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. David says Robert Fisk is a legend and the only believable voice on the Israel situation. Well, certainly he's very well informed and he has lived in Beirut for decades. At this stage, his wife is Iranian, and he speaks fluent Arabic. So, you know, it's his home, that part of the world. Mary says, surely only the Israelis can determine where their capital is, not the US president. Well, no, obviously not. But I mean, the point is, by moving the US embassy to Jerusalem, that's a de facto recognition that Israel owns Jerusalem. Which Israel would like to be the case, obviously. But it's, you know, as you heard during the course of the interview, it's West and East Jerusalem. The Western part is mostly Jewish. The Eastern part is mostly Arabic, or has been, and was a highly disputed city. And if you've ever been there, you'd know that when you go into the old city and all those lovely windy streets, it's, you know, you're in an Arab part of the world. And it's, obviously, it's a sacred city to Islam and Christianity and Judaism. So it's a highly controversial thing to do. If you ask a Zionist Israeli why they occupy Palestine, they will say it's because this is our historic homeland. If you look at the geography of that position, you will see their homeland encompasses Syria, parts of Turkey, Jordan, Lebanon, Egypt and Saudi Arabia. Israel needs instability in the Middle East to facilitate the land grab, which they've started in Palestine. Just boycott Israel, says another texter. Yeah, I'd wonder if, now, I mean, you know, and a lot of people have posited this theory before, that Netanyahu and his supporters want this kind of permanent state of war. You'd wonder if ordinary Israelis want that permanent state of war. Would they not dream of a situation where there's an Israel and, you know, beside it there's a Palestine and they live in peace and harmony with their neighbours? Maybe I'm a crazy old hippie, but, you know, I would think they'd like to have a situation where there isn't a risk of rockets coming over the border and killing their kids, one would have thought. And it's an odd thing that this decision today, even if you do believe, and if you were an ardent Zionist and you believe that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, from a strategic point of view, this isn't necessarily going to get you what you want. It's just going to get more war, I would have thought. Anyway, onto something far more lofty. Mairead Lavery from the Farmers Journal joins us once again. Good afternoon,
Mairead. Good afternoon. You can imagine all the diplomats eating their fingers to the quick, wondering what is Donald going to do next, you know? It's extraordinary. Yeah, and I agree with you 100%. You know, coming out this way so biasly for Israel just tightens everything up in the area. It just puts everybody on alert again.
Well, and also it isolates the United States. It antagonizes Russia and Syria. And so, you know, you could see in a very unstable part of the world, it's going to make things even more unstable.
And it's not too long ago since there was a lot of suicide bombers heading into, you know, the different cities there as well.
Yeah.
And that seems to have toned down dramatically.
Yeah.
And you know, people don't want to be able to go, or want to be able to go out and have a cup of coffee or a bite to eat and not be blown to pieces.
Yeah, exactly. So you've just come from the Med Sheds.
I'm a huge supporter of the Med Sheds. I think it's the best movement that's got going in this country in the last 10 years. Well, and actually, they're only going for about 5 years or less. But I was out in Kilcock because Minister Michael Ring, was he's the Minister for Community Development and Community Affairs and Rural Development. So he was promising them that he'd look after them next year, that they would be his kind of pet project, the men's sheds across the country. So there's 417 of them. They've got about 12,000 members at this stage. And just what they've achieved in terms of putting together like a home from home for people where they, you know, may be retired or they may be out of work and they're across all ages and they've somewhere to go to a couple of days a week or a couple of afternoons a week or on a Saturday or whatever. And they're learning new skills. But it's what they put together. I think I've said it before, out in Kilcock, it's at the back of Vincent's, the place was derelict more or less. And do you know, if you saw today, you know, with the fresh scones and a couple of big tables and nice oilcloth on the tables and a big grate and it bursting out with heat and a load of armchairs around it and people doing their computer skills or all the different kind of crafts that they're learning and teaching each other. So, you know, I think the message needs to get out there that if people are feeling a bit down and out or lonely or just maybe they've newly retired or, you know, they've got time available, check out their local men's shed. You know, I think menshed.ie will get you the information you want, but it's really well worth having a think about. And
yeah, it's an extraordinary movement which has grown really in a relatively short space of time.
We're involved in the journal. We have a page every week supporting the sheds right across the country. And there were 350 there now, or less than that, about 325 last year. There's 417 now. So, you know, but, they received little or no government support. Now, they got €15,000 today for computers.
Okay.
But very, very thinly staffed. There was only about three people, actually two people working to set it up initially. There's only about, you know, a handful there now. Very little government funding. And the resourcefulness of these sheds is just absolutely outstanding. The one thing you're not doing is going in, sitting in a cold owl hall, you know, talking to each other. There is so much going on, but they're really worth checking out. About 40 members out in Kilcock and, you know, that's a good size one. You know, the average around the country would be somewhere between 10 and 20. But, you know, check them out. And if you've got a husband or a brother or an uncle or a father or whatever, and they're maybe at a loose end around the place, get them down to the men's shed. They'll be busy.
Yeah. Now, it's not being published till tomorrow, but you can give us perhaps a bit of a sneak preview on
This is it. Yeah, another organisation that I was involved with and very fond of is a group called AgriAware. Established 20 years ago to kind of look at promoting the image of farming and agri sector to the consumer, to the general public. So every year, every 5 years, they do the same. They ask the same questions that they asked when they were established 20 years ago.
Okay.
And that research has just come true. Now, you know, it's woefully important to, you know, gauge the sentiment towards farming and agri. Like, what's bugging people about the sector? You know, what do they not like? Are they supportive? Because, you know, very often if the population is generally supportive towards agri and farming, you know, governments will be as well because, you know, they're in everybody's good boots. So the good news is that this time around, statements such as Irish farmers play an important role in the Irish economy? It's up even. 95% people either agree or strongly agree with that statement. And that's, you know, there's an awful lot of stuff going on in the economy again. We're back in boom times for some parts of the country. But do farmers and Irish farming, does it play an important role? 95% either agree or strongly agree. They also strongly support buying Irish food products to support the farming community here and all the jobs in it. And that's actually up as well, 89% of those. Now, this is an Ipsos MRBI survey. Mm. It's the standard survey of over 1,000 adults taken across the country. So, you know, it's very powerful.
It's just to be cynical, though, about the buying Irish thing. That's mom and apple pie stuff. No one say, no, I wouldn't buy Irish. No, but well, that doesn't mean they do.
Yeah, but what they are actually prepared to do as well is, I'll find the figure here for you, but in terms of would they support legislation on retailers to give farmers fair prices for their products, that figure is 88%. They would support legislation on that, and that would, you know, ban below cost selling
that means that their shopping basket is more expensive.
They're prepared to do it, and it's up at 88%, so, you know, very high levels of support for it. So, you know, sustainability, again, they feel that the way we farm in Ireland, 75% wouldn't be as high now. A negative there of 9%, but that we farm in a sustainable way. The standards of food production, again, that's good, 87%, up 2% on 5 years ago. That, you know, they strongly agree that, you know, that we have high quality of food standards of food production here. Very important in the light of Brexit, because you literally don't know what the Brits are going to be importing from anywhere in the world now and the standards at which it's going to be produced, and also the other trade agreements. One of the ones that the questions that really, I suppose, upset the farming community 20 years ago when it was first asked was how you rated farmers' treatment of animals, and poorly or just acceptable. 44% of the population said at the time of the survey, which was really high.
Mm.
And, you know, when you go back, you think of it, it was that whole BSE period. And, you know, the mood towards farming was very, very poor. But actually, that figure now is, well, in terms of treating animals well or very well, it's gone from 56% up to 77%. So
okay. That's and what accounts for that, do you think?
I suppose programs like this, maybe, where they're getting to people are getting a bit of an understanding. You know, this little slot here, a bit more of an understanding of what farming is about, and it's been explained to people. The work that AgriWare is doing with schools, that's kind of filtered through now. You know, when they would have started talking to kids in, you know, sixth class, you know, those youngsters are now what, in their early 30s. And having families of their own. So it's just get the message and being more open about farming, and I suppose more open days, you know, more information going out to the public about actual farming practices. Because in terms of the treatment of animals, I have always maintained in, I suppose, 99% of cases where you get, you know, farmers can't afford to treat their animals badly, because if they don't, they won't milk, they won't go and calf, they won't have bonnives, they won't have lambs, they won't fatten, their bodies will be damaged. Like, it actually doesn't pay anybody.
Mm.
And very often where you see mistreatment, it's the problem is inside in the home. It's people maybe with, you know, who are not good in themselves.
Yes.
And that's where that a lot of that comes from. So, but the perception of the public, you know, it's gone from, you know, poorly. Now, there's still substantial, there's 19% of people polled in this survey said that, you know, that they felt farmers treated them poorly or just an acceptable way. But, it, you know, the positive figures have really gone up very substantially. 77% saying very well or well.
Mm.
And, you know, it's good to get that information. With regard, yeah, it was the 80% was in terms of the legislation to control supermarkets and what they pay to farmers. So, you know, on the whole, it's a good snapshot of where we are and a positive attitude towards the farming community.
Did it ask about careers in farming?
It did, would you believe it? Yeah. And again, the interesting thing here is the older people thought, yeah, it's a good idea to get a career in farming. They were very positive towards it, 64%. But across the poll, nearly 40% said no, it's not a good career option for young people, a career in agri. And it's when they mean a career in agri, it's right across the sector. It's not just in the farming end of it. So for young people, yes, 56%, no, 39%, and then a few didn't know. So again, that's something for the industry and for the sector to have to get out there and spell out. I suppose it's no coincidence, you know, that every time anything happens, the IFA are out there and the farming organisation saying how shocking bad it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, so
that's not gonna
it's
help.
Like
yeah.
you never hear the good news, you never hear the positive stuff. Chagas will be coming out with farm income surveys, I think, on Friday now, which will be interesting because I think it'll show up some very positive figures when it comes to dairying, which, you know, after last year, it was a horrendous year. So, you know, when people just hear a negative message the whole time in terms of how the hardship and the income from agriculture, it's no wonder, I suppose, that up to 40% of the population say not a good career choice for young people.
Well, but then again, I suppose they might think just specifically of farming rather than
it's much wider than
just
like
that.
I suppose it's the same thing like being a plumber or an electrician nowadays, or a brickie is a great job. 5 years ago, it was a disaster. 5 years beforehand, it was an absolutely, you know, people were quitting their jobs as teachers doing bricky.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a moment in time. But from our point, from the point of view of the farming community, you know, that positive sentiment towards the sector is very good. And you know, it's not taken for granted and it's worked on.
Good. Murray, thanks a million for coming in to us. Murray Lavery there from the Farmers Journal. Back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas